words to her, his eyes filled up with tears. If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not gonna let you down. Darling, wait and see. And between now and then, till I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me. Between now and then, till I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me.
Music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The rule of Syrian President Bashar Assad is crumbling after almost a quarter of a century. Rebels say they have toppled his government. Assad's close ally, Iran, says that Syrians should decide their future without foreign intervention. Another backer, Russia, announced Assad's resignation and made a similar statement. ABC Chief International Correspondent James Longman says,
this is one of the most extraordinary moments in the history of the Middle East. Bashar Assad inherited power from his father nearly 25 years ago. He has clung on to that power for more than 13 years of civil war. But now a new rebel movement has managed to topple him in less than 2 weeks.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said Saturday the top U.S. priority is making sure the fighting does not lead to an ISIS resurgence. Authorities searching for the manhunt of the killer of the United Healthcare CEO in New York City. Police sources believe he left the city shortly after Wednesday's shooting. This is ABC News. Today, we'll learn the participants in the first ever 12-team college football playoff at the FBS level. Clemson expected to be one of them after the Tigers won the ACC championship Saturday night in Charlotte.
Kasperson to snap, Sweeney to hold. Snap, hold, kick on its way, got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy.
From the Clemson Athletic Network, a 56-yard field goal to lift Clemson over SMU in the ACC championship game. Top-ranked Oregon expected to be the number one seed. And Boston City Councilor Tanya Fernandez Anderson arrested by the FBI Friday. Prosecutors say she hired a relative, gave them a $13,000 bonus, then demanded more than half of it back to herself. She pleaded not guilty to six criminal charges Friday. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone. Auto.
So what if I need a new one? We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone. Auto.
And what about my old battery? We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, a light southeast wind today, 5 to 10, highs in the lower 40s. Tonight, skies gradually turning mostly clear. Lows will bottom out near 30. On Monday, more clouds on the way, highs in the lower 40s. Alexandria, Minnesota, the best skiing, ice fishing, and snowmobiling. Learn more at explorealex.com.
Right now, it's 34.
Real Country. Real Country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
What do you say when it's over? Don't know if I should say anything at all. One day we're rolling in the clover. Next thing you know, we take the fall. Still I think about the years since I first met you and the way it might have been without you here. I don't know if words for me can still upset you, but I've just gotta make this memory stand clear. I know I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do before, now I think I can. And I'm leaving here a better man. Set you free. Just like some old nursery rhyme your mama told you, you still believe in some old meant to be. Still I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do before, and I'm leaving here a better man. Yes, I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do before, now I know I can. And I'm leaving here a better man. I'm leaving here a better man.
Better Man from Clint Black. Great to have you along. I'm Andrew Jay, and I hope you are having a great weekend. Here's John Party, Head Over Boots.
I wanna sweep you off your feet tonight. I wanna love you and hold you tight. Spin you around on some old dance floor. Act like we never met.
My soul is true. I'm head over boots for you. cause you're the one I want. You're the one I need, baby. If I was a king, you would be my queen. You're the rock in my roll. You're good for my soul, it's true. I'm head over heels for you. You're the one I want. You're the one I need, baby. If I was a king, you would be my queen. You're the rock in my roll. You're good for my soul.
Reeling in the hits all day long. Real Country, 1430.
Mr. Santa, bring me some toys. Bring Merry Christmas to all girls and boys. And every night I'll go to sleep singing and dream about the presents that you'll be. Mr. Santa, promise me please, give every reindeer a hug and a squeeze. I'll be good as good can be. Mr. Santa, don't forget me. Mr. Santa, dear old Saint Nick, be awful careful. Please don't get sick. Put on your coat when breezes are blowing. And when you cross the street, look where you're going. Santa, I love you so. I hope you never get lost in the snow. Take your time when you unpack. Mr. Santa, don't hurt your back.
For you 24/7. We're Real Country.
Real Country.
1430 AM and 1073 FM. WRDN.
I'm looking for someone to put the tires back in the drive. And if they
is a hard bar. She's searching for someone who's gonna build it back. But I ain't got a guy for that. 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 No VIP up at MIT, and it still won't let me fly the time machine. Someone to turn back the hands on my new AP. But buddy, what I really need is someone.
Post Malone, along with Luke Combs, it's Guy for That. Hi there, it's Andrew J. How you doing? Glad to have you in. Are you having a good weekend? Certainly hope you are. Maybe you're getting some holiday things done. Got about 2.5 weeks left till Christmas. Speaking of, we will get to some holiday sounds from Nitty Gritty Dirt Band a little later on, and Wynonna Judd up next.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
Be sure to visit the O'Galley Cheese Factory this holiday season. Their delicious cheese boxes make the perfect gift. O'Galley Cheese has a wide array of boxes featuring their award-winning cheese designed to fit any budget. Choose one of their pre-made selections or create your own specialty box. They can ship anywhere. Remember to order early to ensure timely delivery. Visit O'Galley Cheese, 2 miles north of Durand on Highway 25, or visit OGalleyCheese.com for easy online ordering.
The Chent Fitzsmith Funeral Home of Mondovi wants to wish you and your family Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. The staff at Chent Fitzsmith Funeral Home wish you goodwill and cheer during this busy time of year. It is their hope that if you know someone who has lost a loved one, that you send a card or give them a call. Let them know you're thinking of them. Holidays can be a very hard time for someone who's lost a loved one. The Chent Fitzsmith Funeral Home, serving the Mondovi area and featuring monuments from Lifetime Memorials.
For excellence in auto body work and paint jobs, there's only one name to see: JKO Auto Body Shop of Durand. Because JKO Auto Body Shop strives for excellence in every job they do. You'll know that when your car is repaired by JKO Auto Body Shop, that is in back-to-factory specifications from the parts to the paint. And it will last, too. JKO works with all insurance companies. From body work to paint jobs, excellence is what you'll find at JKO Auto Body Shop, Madison Street, Durand.
Is thinning hair or a receding hairline making you self-conscious? Try Hair Grow by New Nordic. Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow. With its patented tocotrienol complex, Hair Grow naturally reduces inflammation in the scalp and is clinically proven to promote new hair growth and increase hair count in as little as 4 months. Stop feeling embarrassed about thinning hair and start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow. Available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, and NewNordicUSA.com. Or in stores at your local CVS.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Real Country.
the snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the snowman made the children laugh and play. Were they surprised before their eyes he came to life that day? There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run, we'll have some fun before I melt away. So down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler stop. For Frosty the snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Oh, Frosty the snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Thumpity-thump-thump,
thumpity-thump-thump,
look at Frosty go. Thumpity-thump-thump,
thumpity-thump-thump,
over the hills of snow.
Wishing you and your family a happy holiday season from all of us at Real Country, 1430 WRDN.
Looking out the window of this Hollywood hotel, you'd never know that it was Christmas Eve. The billboards and the neon took the place of silver bells, and the temperature is 84 degrees. I can hear the traffic on the crowded strip below, as the palm trees poke their heads above the scene. But there's not a single reindeer, and it hardly ever snows, and Santa drives a Rolls Royce limousine. But all along the Rockies you can feel it in the air, tell you right to Boulder down below. The closest thing to heaven on this planet anywhere is a quiet Christmas morning in the Colorado snow. Christmases when I was just a boy, in the morning I would run to see the tree, and the carolers on the hillside sang their songs of Christmas joy,
Well, I always thought they sang them just for me. Now the sun is setting in the California sky. I can't find the spirit anywhere. So I think it's time for me to tell Los Angeles goodbye. I'm going back home to look for Christmas there. But all along the Rockies, you can feel it in the air. From Telluride to Boulder down below. The closest thing to heaven on this planet anywhere is a quiet Christmas morning in the Colorado. It's a quiet Christmas morning in the Colorado snow.
Baby girl, you out your mind, you way too good for me. Thinking about the day we met, you could've just ignored me. Here I am, laying next to you, looking extra cute in the morning. Looking back all through the past, everything before you was boring. You're the type people wishing they'd sit next to on a flight. Top of list, who I wanna wash up on an island with. You're the dream, even if we're counting girls in magazines. You're still a mystery. What's someone as beautiful as you doing right around with someone like me? I swear, girl, you could have anyone you choose. I should stop asking questions before you get a brandy. What's someone as beautiful as you doing waking up with someone like me? Ain't gonna lie, you could have anyone you choose. I should stop asking questions before you get a brandy. As you could just fall out of the blue. When you're walking around in my sweater, girl, there's no better view. Spend the rest of forever just treasuring you. Oh, I follow you wherever, and you know that's the truth, yeah. You're the type people wishing they'd sit next to on a flight. Top of list, who I wanna spend like every second with. You're the dream, even if we're counting girls up on the screen. Still a mystery. What's someone as beautiful as you doing right around with someone like me? I swear, girl, you could have anyone you choose. I should stop asking questions before you get a bandy. What's someone as beautiful as you doing waking up with someone like me? Ain't gonna lie, you could have anyone you choose. I should stop asking questions before you get a bandy. I just had to let you know, no, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. I could never let you go, no, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. Oh, I just had to let you know, no, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. I could never let you go, no, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. What's someone as beautiful as you doing waking up with someone like me? I swear, girl, you could have anyone you choose. I should stop asking questions before you get up and leave.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to those that are joining us through WRDN. We are in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. And yes, this is First Baptist of Durand. Glad to have you join us. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading verse 8 through verse 12, and if you have a Bible, I'd like you to follow along. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a joy to be here. You have given us a wonderful Thanksgiving. And now we come with open hearts, asking that you would minister to us. Thank you for this text and these that have gone before us. May we learn from the example that the Israelites set, a negative example, but yet there can be positive results as we take it to heart. So we exalt you and we ask that the Holy Spirit would move freely in our midst and in our lives as we look at the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on your outline right there, you can see for our introduction is the unbelief of the Israelites in the wilderness angered God exceedingly, provoking him to swear. And so we have the title of our message here is the day that God swore. And it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through 38. 11 days after the children of Israel had left Mount Sinai and they had further followed the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night, God brought them to a point where he said, I want you to go in now to the promised land. And they said, well, we think we should spy it out first. Let us send men in to do a recon on this property that you're going to give us. So that's what happens. They come back, and out of the 12, 10 give a negative response saying, hey, we can't go in. We can't take this country. The Amorites live there, and the Anakims, which are probably 18 to 24 inches taller than any average NBA player, they're going to overwhelm us and we'll never be able to do well in combat against them. And because they wouldn't believe God when he said, you can take the land, the Bible tells us God said, all right, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And your children will be able to go in, but you will not be able to do that. And so the Bible says that God swore, and he said, it's not going to happen for you, for your children it will, but because you wouldn't believe me, you're going to miss the opportunity and the blessing that I have for you. So when we think about that word swear, we normally think of someone using profanity, invoking God's name and using it in a reckless way, violating one of the first commandments of the Ten. But it also means, does it not, to make a solemn declaration, a promise to tell the truth. When a person testifies in court, they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They used to say that anyway. But it was to affirm to the judge and the jury and those that were listening that what would proceed out of their mouth would be honest words. Now that whole event from Deuteronomy chapter 1 is recorded in Psalm 95 verses 7 through 11 through which the writer of the book of Hebrews speaks. And it is a warning for us. It is a warning for us not to turn away from God. And basically it is saying believe God. Do not be guilty of the sin of unbelief. We might look at it as something that is kind of trivial, but it is not. It is critical in our relationship with the Lord. So let's take a look at our outline. First of all, as we look at this, the sin of unbelief, it occurs in surprising ways. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible tells us here that these people, they tempted God, they tested God, and in Matthew chapter 4, we are told that we are not to test God, we are not to be presumptuous, and they murmured, and they began to complain. Do you ever think about, you know, murmuring or complaining as an act of unbelief? It is. Because if we understand that Romans 8:28 says, and everything God works together for good to them that love God, to them
who are the called according to his purpose. God is working even those unpleasant events, those bumps in our day, those bumps in our week, those bumps in our month, those bumps in our life for our good. And if we say, God, I hate this, we are actually declaring, I don't believe, God, that somehow you're going to work for good in this situation in my life. So it occurs in some surprising ways, does it not? Here they had just received the Ten Commandments less than 2 weeks prior to this. And now they are voicing unbelief, just like they were Egyptians, just like they were from a far distant country that had never heard of Jehovah Elohim or Adonai. And then unbelief occurs through fear. The people were afraid to go into the land that God had promised them. Have not I commanded thee, God told Joshua many years later, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed or discouraged, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And so God is with us, but fear is really a manifestation of unbelief if we do not get a handle on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and how? Hearing the Word of God. All right? We expose ourselves to the truths in the 39 books of the Old Testament. We expose ourselves to the truths in the 27 books of the New Testament. And the Bible tells us something happens inside. And our dependence on God and our trust in Him begins to grow and soar. We're able to put that fear aside. The Lord is my light and my salvation, David said. One of the greatest warriors in Israel. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, the thing is that faith and fear do not make good roommates. One either wins over the other. And God says, your best roommate is put your trust in me and I'll take care of you. Unbelief surfaces by complaining. Unbelief surfaces through fear. But it also surfaces through open rebellion against God. And when these people in Deuteronomy chapter 1 were told to you're going to miss the window for going into the promised land, they said, okay, we'll go up. And they went on their own to fight the Amorites. Do you remember what happened? And God said, you missed it. Moses said, don't go. You're going to get whipped. And they went anyway. And they got whipped. And they came back with their tail between their legs. So the sin of unbelief occurs in some surprising ways. And the Bible tells us here it can cost us a great price. Look with me, please. It says in verse 7, wherefore, now as the Holy Spirit said. Now this is a quote from Psalm 95. And the Holy Spirit was responsible and was active in the Old Testament in penning Scripture through His prophets and through His servants. He says, today if you will hear His heart, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You know that that word for harden means to dry out. It means to dry up. That's the what the root of the word means. And when you dry up, and you're not fresh for the Lord, and you're not walking with Him as you should, guess what? You get hard, don't you? And the Word of God doesn't touch your spirit as it once did, and it doesn't affect you as it once did when you would read and you get alone with God. And there's a warning here. Don't let that happen to you. As in that day of temptation, that time when they tested God in the wilderness, and they provoked God. You know, to tempt God is to dare God. God, a double dog dare you to take care of me if I do this. All right? It's throwing yourself out a window, hollering, save me. God is under no obligation to take us on with such fooliness. It costs us a great price. It cost them the entrance into the promised land. They could not go into the promised land that God gave them. And the promised land is also a reference to heaven itself in this New Testament dispensation. It's a reference to heaven itself. You don't believe the gospel? You don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? You don't believe that you're a sinner? You bought the world's idea that this present life is hell? It's not. You turn your back upon God, and guess what? You miss heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You will perish if you don't believe in him. But if you do, you will have everlasting life. It costs us a great price. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, and if you have put your faith and trust in him, you cannot lose your salvation. You are secure in him. But second of all, our unbelief costs us God's fellowship. God's fellowship. I remember as a new believer hearing what someone older in the Lord told me. He said, Doug, you know, not living for the Lord is like going out into the water, and you're kind of halfway in and halfway out, and you're cold and you're hot, and you're just miserable until you really take the plunge and really surrender yourself to that body of water which can cool you off. It costs us our fellowship with God. You want to be miserable? Doubt what God says. You want to be miserable? Don't let him work in your heart, and don't let him work in your life. It costs you God's fellowship. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then it will also cost us our peace. Our peace. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 6 right here of chapter 3. Actually, verse 5. It says, and Moses truly, or verily, was faithful in all his house as a servant. Speaking about Moses when he was leading Israel. And it was for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son, and there's a little ellipsis here that the writer understands we would fill in. But Christ as a son was faithful over his own house, whose house we are. Okay? You're a temple of the Lord. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 declares that to us. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Okay? We are God's house. Now, here's how we give evidence that we belong to God. It says here, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. One way that you and I show that we belong to God, that we are actually his temple, is if we hold fast the confidence, that is our sure belief in God's word. We hold on to that very fast. We hold on to that tightly. And that is proof that we know him. When others are throwing up their hands and when others are putting their hands in their pocket and giving up, we said, no, God hasn't surrendered. God is still on the throne. God knows what's going on. We hold fast our confidence. And not only that, that's the first way in which we demonstrate that we know the Lord. But the second way is we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That means we hold fast to the joy of our salvation right unto the end when God determines to take us home. Proof of our salvation is our joy in Christ. That is what the writer is telling us right here. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm on. No joy in the Lord. No evidence of salvation. You're living like everybody else. You're living like a pagan. You're living like a heathen. Like someone that doesn't even know this book. But when we hold fast our confidence, the sure belief, the hope that we have, and then when we hold on to that joy that we got when we got saved, and we do everything we can in our quiet time and prayer and walking with God, having that joy every day in our life, it is proof to the world that we've got something different. We had to drop off our car when we went down to Texas for our father-in-law's funeral. We stayed overnight in Arlington, which is a suburb of Dallas and Fort Worth, and we were scheduled to take off from the Dallas-Fort Worth airport the following morning. So we got up early and drove to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport and then dropped off our car. And then we had to pick up one of these huge buses that would take us back to the airport so we could catch our flight. And I remember our bus driver, and he must have been about 45 or 47 years old or something like that. Somehow the subject of God came up, and we were seated just within a stone's throw of him. And he said, "You know, I know I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do." He says, "I drove a trash truck." He says, "I drove a school bus." And he says, "Now I'm driving a transit bus. And I know this is the providence of God. I know this is exactly where he wants me." And the bus has got people in it. And he's talking, "This is what God wants me to do." He says, "I was a drug addict." I says, "I didn't know my mother." He says, "I was in jail more than I was out of jail. And then Jesus saved me." Boy, you're talking about someone that had the joy of the Lord. We're talking, most of us are half asleep, you know. Where's my luggage, you know? The joy of the Lord. Not in a fake way, not in a synthetic way, but you know, when it just surfaces and when it's there. And that is a proof that we believe in the God who made heaven and earth. That is a proof that we believe that God inspired this book. So he says right here, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Two evidences that we believe the word of God. A sure belief and then a joy that is not artificial right here. Now, number three right here, the sin of unbelief. It cannot be hid. It cannot be hid from God. Turn with me over here to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, when it says the word of God, that's the logos of God. That is the same term that is used to describe the Son of God in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos of God, and the Logos of God was God, and the Logos of God is God. In the beginning, and the same was in the beginning with God. And so he's saying right here, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And what they're saying, number one here under Roman numeral 3, the Logos of God can penetrate our secret thoughts. And so Paul draws from, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, uses an illustration from anatomy. Joints and marrow are not what is called contiguous. They are near to one another, but the joints and marrow don't touch one another, do they? You know, a joint is where two bones intersect. Amen? Yeah. The marrow is that soft cavity inside where the red blood, help me, Meredith, red blood vessels are made, okay? But the idea here is the Word of God, God can penetrate the secret, most interior recesses of our very being even inside our bones, where those red corpuscles are made, and where the bones intersect right here. He knows if you believe him. Our unbelief cannot be hid from God. It might be hid from my wife. It might be hid from my congregation. It might be hid from my brother pastors. It might be hid from my neighbor. I can't hide it from God. He sees my heart. The Logos, the Word of God, sees my heart. Now, God's Word can reveal our own unbelief. Sometimes we have unbelief and it's masked, is it not? And we don't realize it until we get into the Word and say, God, I have not been believing you. I haven't been walking with you like I need to walk with you. And it's like the Holy Spirit pulls that mask away and says, Doug, you've got some work to do here. But not only that, the omniscience of God, and that's what we're talking about. God knows everything. God sees everything. The omniscience of God, or the omniscience of Christ, is limited by no man. Whether he's a pagan, whether he's unredeemed, or whether he's a believer and been walking with God many years. Why do we say that? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God's omniscience is limited by no man, but all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. So this sin of unbelief, we cannot hide it from God. Okay, number four here. It cannot be thwarted. It cannot be thwarted. It can be thwarted. Forgive me. It can be thwarted. All right? And for that, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says this: For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, the writer of Hebrews is saying, unto us, first century Christians, the gospel was preached as well as unto them. Who? The people in the Old Testament who followed Moses out of Egypt. Did they have a gospel? They certainly did. They had blood sacrifices. They had the Word of God, and they had spiritual leaders that helped them understand who God is. And the Gospels, they could be right with God, and they could have heaven one day if they believed. But it didn't prosper them, it says them. Why? Because the Gospel was not mixed with what? Faith. You know what? When I read this Bible, I have to say, that promise is for me. It's not for someone that was, you know, flipped 400 or 500 years ago. I have to mix this word with faith and say, God, you wrote this here for me. Is that not what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And so when we read this book, we need to read it with a heart of belief and saying, you know, I'll be honest with you. This morning, I think I read two verses from the book of Romans, and my cup was full. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? No, I'm not reading about three chapters or seven chapters in the morning or something. Sometimes you can just go two verses or one verse or whatever, and your cup is full. You have to mix it with faith. And you have to say, yes, God, I want to obey that. Yes, God, I want to claim that promise. Yes, I want to see that that truth alive in my own heart and life. But if we don't mix what we read and hear with faith, it's not going to do us any good. It's not going to do us any good. And second of all, unbelief can be thwarted through exhortation. Look with verse 12 and verse 13 right here. It says of chapter 3, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, you might be redeemed, but you still have an old nature. And that old nature is a corrupt heart. And it is desperately wicked. And we need to keep it at bay by walking in the Spirit, by reading the Word of God through prayer. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Well, it is called today. Exhortation is another way to thwart unbelief. And my friend, Pastor Doug is not the only preacher in this congregation. There's Mrs. Vick. But not only Mrs. Vick, but you are to be a preacher and teacher as well. Please understand this in the context of 1 Timothy chapter 3, that it's the office of the pastor is for a man. But you know, when we read the Bible, God feeds us and God ministers to us and He reveals things about Himself, and we just get excited and we get thrilled and we get all happy and everything. But you know what? It's not just for you and not just for me, but it's for a fellow believer or maybe even an unsaved person. You can pass that truth on, maybe not the whole thing, but maybe part of it, to someone else. And when they hear that come from you, not the pastor, they say, wow, this is really something. She's never gone to Bible school. She's never gone to seminary. He's never gone to seminary. But here they're reading their Bible and they're talking like they know the author of this book and like this the promises in this book work. And what that does is it thwarts unbelief. I enjoy it when Brother Murnus here speaks. And he's able to take a text and he tells us what it means and what it means to him. And it builds all of us up. God wants us to be like that, to be able to share His Word, maybe not in such a public way, but with another person, a one-on-one. What a difference that makes. You know, you've heard the old story about the Dead Sea. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because it has no outlet, right? Just fills up. There's nothing alive in the Dead Sea. We take in, we don't give it out. We become stagnant spiritually. But we are to exhort one another and share those riches that God gives us in His Word with one another. And that not only helps us, but it thwarts unbelief in that other person's life. So unbelief can be thwarted if we don't mix what we hear with faith, and if we fail to exhort one another as God wants us to. So let's take a look at our conclusion right here. What do we have? We have unbelief is not a little sin. It's a dangerous sin. And it starts out like just a little bit of leaven, but it wants to take over your whole inner man. It's not a little sin. It's a dangerous sin. Number two, God uses the word today to stress the immediate action He wants us to take when we discover in our hearts. That's why He says, look with me, if you would, at verse 7 right there. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, next week, if you will hear. No, He says, today, if you will hear His voice. And then look at verse 13, please. He says, but exhort one another daily while it is called what? Next month? No, today. He says, get busy, do it today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then verse 15, it says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And then we could go on to verse 7 of chapter 4. God uses the word today to stress the immediate action we need to take when we discover unbelief in our heart. Again, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, you're not going to please God today. You're not going to please God this week. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm out of time. Number three in our conclusion, waste no time in discarding unbelief from your life. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God.